Hey, welcome to episode 66 of the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Johnny.
And it's episode 66, Johnny, not episode 666.
We're on the highway to hell.
Oh. Okay. Actually, we kind of are. Well, you're not wrong.
I mean, that was the route in the movie Highway to Hell.
Yep.
Route 666.
All right. So today we are talking about what's your favorite scary movie? Actually, we're going to talk about more than
general.
That. But yeah, terror in general. But I couldn't not do What's Your Favorite Scary Movie as the title because it's episode 66. You know, it's just funny. But before we get to...
Was that a coincidence?
Dun, dun, dun. Yes, it absolutely was a coincidence. Yeah. But because we both know, I never actually know what episode it is until I make the folder.
Right.
And it's like, okay, which episode was the last one? Anyway. But before we talk about scary movies and horror,
yeah,
let's talk about the two big trailers that dropped this week.
Sure.
I'll start with Logan.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So, Logan, the final chapter in the Wolverine trilogy, quadrilogy, is it three?
Three. Yeah.
There was Origins, the Wolverine, and now this one. I recently rewatched
and the X-Men movies.
Well, I mean, technically, this is the 11th Wolverine movie,
maybe,
but I recently rewatched The Wolverine.
Yeah,
it has some really cool parts to it.
And
I hate Wolverine.
Well, my major thing with The Wolverine that was my major complaint was Silver Samurai,
yeah,
was a robot,
Silver Cyborg,
yeah,
Samurai.
I'm like, it could have just been a dude in a silver costume and they could have fought, and it's like, okay,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was my major issue with that movie.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that...
The stinger at the end makes up for that.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be the case, right? Yeah. We shouldn't have to talk about a movie and be like, the stinger at the end makes up for that. But I will say this. I liked the way this trailer was put together.
Yeah.
It was very much that, the way the words were on the screen and things like that was that, Winter Soldier, Civil War, font.
Right.
You know, it was that just flat against the screen. That was cool. You actually, right from the beginning, commented about his hand.
The shakes.
The shakes.
Yeah. Something bad happened to him in the time between the Wolverine and Logan.
So. Patrick Stewart looks good. Doesn't look good, but looks like he's going to be
good. Patrick Stewart's taking the place of Ant-Man. Or not Ant-Man.
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, I have not read Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this a little bit before we got started. How much of this do you think is going to be based on Old Man?
Well, since this is only the 20th Century Fox universe, mm-hmm. not the cinematic universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, not a lot.
Okay.
Because
Hawkeye and the Hulk were in Old Man Logan,
yeah.
right? Okay.
Hawkeye, the Hulk, and all the X-Men, and I don't want to spoil it for you unless you already know what happened.
I mean, I know he
kills all the X-Men.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that Mysterio. Just from the X-Men.
Yeah,
so,
Mysterio does it, though. So Mysterio is a Spider-Man villain. He's not showing up. I mean, Red Skull is a major part of it, so he won't be showing up.
Okay.
I mean, they've said Caliban's in it. Caliban,
well,
I don't remember.
Stephen Merchant
in the story.
Is playing Caliban, which I don't know why they didn't get Caliban from Age of Apocalypse.
I don't know.
It wasn't because that wasn't Stephen Merchant.
Right.
So,
well, it's, older.
Yeah.
Everybody's older.
But I love Stephen Merchant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he, from The Office and.
The villain is Pierce, Donald Pierce, which he is one of the Wolverine villains, I'm pretty sure.
And
but he wasn't the major villain in this. The whole thing in the original story was they were trying to get across the country to deliver something,
okay.
a package.
Yeah.
Whereas this looks like the package is a little kid that's a mutant. Yeah.
So it's like the transporter kind of?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Except they're driving the spider buggy.
Fair enough, right?
That's literally their mode of transportation throughout most of the story is the spider buggy.
Cool.
And so, it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you said you enjoyed it.
I think it's one of the better Wolverine stories.
Okay.
The ending isn't the greatest ending. But,
But we won't spoil it for people who haven't read it because I have a feeling there'll be a Comixology sale on this one.
Oh, I'm sure,
Or you can go to your local comic book store.
It looks beautiful. I think it's Steve McNiven.
I think so.
Yeah. And,
now, here's the thing. I don't like Wolverine. I've made no secret about my hatred of Wolverine. I kind of am excited for the look and feel of this movie.
A lot of people are saying that.
If it's... Yeah. If it stays true to what we've seen in this minute and 42 seconds.
I mean, whatever, Hugh Jackman has done a decent job performing as that character. You know, it's not the Wolverine from the comic books.
No, he's the...
It's never been the Wolverine from the comic books.
Modern version of Wolverine. He's like, you know, so a lot of people, like, they have their first doctor is their doctor, right?
Right, yeah.
Like... I'm trying to think of something else that would be along those lines. But like for most people, this was their first introduction to Wolverine.
Right.
If they didn't watch the 90s cartoon series.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and then you have like the hardcore comic fans who have been, you know, following since what was it? Hulk 140.
181.
181.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I've never been a big Wolverine fan.
I think my...
I would really like
comic
to see
book
this.
Version of Wolverine is probably when Byrne was doing the art.
Yeah.
Because he drew him like you would think Wolverine's a shorter guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a midget, but he's like, you know, Colossus is what, 6'5"? Wolverine stands about...
I think he was like 5'3", something. He was like Tom Cruise height.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's one of those things where Byrne did a really good job drawing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just the storylines and Wolverine pretty much as a mercenary.
Yeah.
In those stories, and then, you know, he's not much of an X-Men. He's more of a mercenary who's just working with the X-Men.
Yeah. The times I liked Wolverine is like kind of when he was teamed up with Kitty Pryde early on, when like she was, you know, where she was his mentee kind of, and you know, she ended up becoming a ninja, like just because, you know. And then I got annoyed with Wolverine. I got annoyed with Wolverine because, like, I'm a Cyclops fan, but like in the comics, they were good friends for a long, long time.
Sure.
You know, I got annoyed with Wolverine when it was the 92 cartoon series because like Jubilee should have been Kitty Pryde.
Okay.
You know, and it's that was just because it's like, okay, like he had this cool relationship with Kitty Pryde in the comics. Why is that not being carried over?
Yeah.
Stop trying to make Jubilee a thing. Hashtag. But yeah. All right. So, you know, Hugh Jackman's back. Boyd Holbrook is Donald Pierce.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of rolling through his IMDb. He was on Narcos.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, he...
I haven't watched that, but
he
I
was in. Yeah. He was in Gone Girl. He was in Milk. You know, he was on the Hatfields and McCoys, the TV miniseries with Kevin Costner. Yeah, man. I mean, he's got like a pretty good... Like Milk was actually one of the first things he did.
You won't see many mutants in this just because of the fact that he says that most of the mutants
they're
gone,
mostly gone. So now the question is the little girl in the preview X-23?
I don't think so.
Or something else?
It's Jean.
Is it Hope?
It's Jean.
Yeah.
If it was Hope, that'd be cool because then they could cross it over with
they Cable could do showing that, up. Because Cable could come and take her at the end. And then we don't have to deal with Cable trying to, you know, breastfeed a baby.
Right. But I mean, like Cable showing up in some kind of form in that and then being in the Cable Deadpool movie would make that all legitimate, like holding together the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
type thing.
Very cool. All right. So the
It'd be cool if Wade shows up. He's a survivor. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, he's a cockroach.
Yeah.
All right. So the other one that
would be awesome if he took the place of the Red Skull in that story.
Of
like in the old man Logan, the Red Skull is like really just despicable.
Okay,
and that would be cool if they did it where they won't. But if Wade Wells was the fill in for Red Skull,
that'd be cool.
A cool idea.
He could have an all red mask without the black around the eyes. All right, the other trailer, which kind of
from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, this time from the Marvel proper, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Man, James Gunn can put together a trailer.
Yeah. It's a good trailer.
It had humor, it had action, it had Baby Groot.
Like Nova.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know like if she was coming back or not. So it was like cool to see her.
Nebula,
that's it. Sorry. Yondu.
Yeah. And Yondu has the larger, you know,
the
more Finn like.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if it's gonna be like up the whole time or if it's going to be kind of like it was in parts of the of his history as a Guardian with the Guardians, where it would come up when he needed to shoot the arrow.
Right.
But
we'll see.
Yeah. I tell you what, the use of blue suede hooked on a feeling.
Yeah.
Great. The scene with Batista and Chris Pratt. Great. You know, and just the
well,
other.
Well, you can tell that, like, it's been a while since the last movie because they look different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's cool that you're getting an idea that this is in the time frame of a couple years after.
It's a little more lived in.
Yeah.
So
I mean, even Star-Lord's uniform looks a little different. Yeah. So it's like, okay, the helmet looks a little the face helmet looks a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's cool.
I go back and forth between if Guardians or Winter Soldier are my favorite Marvel movies, like at the top of the list. And most of the time it is Guardians just because I love space and science fiction so much.
I think my favorite
is
probably the first Avenger.
Yeah.
Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah.
Is my favorite.
I tell you
but
what.
I'm a Joe Johnston fan. Like, his movies are really well done. You know, the guy who designed Boba Fett. But it's like, when he does the World War II, which he's done twice, stuff, it looks beautiful, and it feels like it's a documentary type.
Yeah, I mean, because The Rocketeer was amazing. I'm right there with you. Like, Captain America: The First Avenger is one of the most rewatchable movies ever, because it does the period stuff so well.
Yep.
Guardians is definitely a go-to in this household.
Yeah.
Like the three of us will be like, hey, what do you want to watch? I'm like, well, let's just throw on Guardians. And it's not like, oh, let's throw on Guardians. It's like, we're genuinely excited to watch it every time. The other
Sometimes
one for us
I think
is
for
Ant-Man.
Me, they get played out because we have stars.
Yeah.
Oh, and well, yeah. They'll run the things for like 2 months.
Yeah. So it'll play Guardians like four times in a row.
Like right now, Force Awakens seems to be on that rotation, and I avoid it just because I'm like, unless it's like I'm going to bed and I can just let it play in the background.
Yeah, you just kind of catch it at the last half.
I'm just
or
like,
whatever.
Whoa.
Spoilers, you watch Kylo run Han through.
Yeah.
So, well, now there's the rumors that he survived the fall. Have you heard?
No.
Anyway, I tell you, come back
as a cyborg.
I tell you what, the cool thing about Guardians is, like you were saying, it's got that like lived in look and feel.
Yeah.
But like, this trailer showed us everything we loved about the first movie.
Well, sure.
And gave nothing away about.
There's nothing in there.
Nothing.
Like, no villain or
it's
nothing
great.
Like that.
It's like, this is how you do a teaser.
Like Kurt Russell or Sylvester Stallone or anybody.
And even the whole, the galaxy's not going to save itself.
Right.
You know, who is Sylvester Stallone playing? Do we know yet?
No.
So is it Richard Rider, you think?
I don't think so. I'm willing to bet his character's a CG character. And
you think?
Probably just his voice.
Yeah. It'd be cool if he was. I mean, in IMDb, it doesn't even have a name next to him at all. So and then Kurt Russell was Ego, so the living planet.
Yeah, who's gonna be his father, I guess.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't.
So I still like I know they said like they've said that, but I think that's him just messing with us.
I think it'll be Stallone.
Yeah, like I'm thinking he's Jason of Spartax.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
That would kind of make sense.
Yeah. All right. So, two great trailers. Check them out. Links in the show notes.
Yeah.
If not, you know, YouTube is only a click away.
YouTube is only a click away. That should be their new advertising logo.
They should have like a version with it where it's like a country singer, where it's like Rihanna.
Yeah.
Like Eminem does one. The Foo Fighters do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's do it. YouTube, get it done. All right. Now. It's Halloween month. It's October. We got to talk about scary stuff, right?
Sure.
We talked about the scary stuff that is Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the scary stuff that is Angel the series. Now it's time to...
If Netflix or one of them would get Friday the 13th, the series on there, we would have talked about that.
That would have been cool. Yeah. Or Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Freddy's Nightmares?
Yeah. Because that's scary. There's stuff out of that that's scary.
Well, yeah, you've told me.
We talked about it on here.
Yeah.
All right. But so, I mean, scary movies are a staple, you know, of growing up. You have to watch scary movies, right? And there's a couple scary movies that I probably watched a little too young.
Yeah.
Like, and when I say a little too young, I mean like six.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you told me you're not afraid of, you weren't afraid of anything. So,
well, yeah, not anymore.
You were like,
there's nothing like in this day and age, there's nothing in a horror movie that really like scares me. I could go, ooh, wow. You know, like there's more of the like stuff that can creep you out, but it's like an hour later, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You know?
Yeah.
But I was talking about that with people and I'm like, I think it's more just because I know a lot of the technical backside of that stuff now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, it doesn't really do too much to me.
Okay. Okay.
It's like The Walking Dead. There's stuff on The Walking Dead where I go, whoa, damn. It's like, yeah woof.
So,
but I'm like, there's nothing where I go, oh my God, that scares me.
So Ty West, you heard, nothing scares Johnny. Challenge laid down. Scare Johnny. Ty West, he directed The Innkeepers and The Devil's Reject, or not The Devil's Rejects, the other one. What was it? Anyway, and he had what?
What was the other one?
Hold on. What was it called? House of the Devil.
Okay.
And then in that like the VHS anthology movie, he had like the one that like scared the shit out of people.
I haven't seen that yet.
I think I gave it to you.
I don't know.
I don't know, but. Anyway,
it's on Netflix, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. But the House of the Devil was the other one. Was the other like, well, that was his first one. But anyway,
I'll check them out.
I'll have to find it, but I'll let you borrow the Innkeepers.
I'll sit there and be. This is funny.
Yeah,
I'm the guy who sat in the ring while everybody else was kind of freaking out, going, just knock the damn TV down.
Just take it outside. Throw it in the well.
In front of me, I can remember we seen that as a free preview. And there was a guy in front of me that was probably 4 inches taller than me, built like, you know, you could tell he was a guy who worked out. And he continuously, like he had a hat on. He would continuously take the hat off and rub his head like he was nervous. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, come on. It's like, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like,
right.
It didn't do that anything for me like that. It's like the Blair Witch. I can remember when we seen the Blair Witch. My sister and I went and seen that.
Never seen it.
And nothing.
So the Blair Witch Project.
But I've been in the woods at night. Yeah. I've been in graveyards at night. So, you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like.
So the Blair Witch, right? I've never seen it. And it's not because I don't want to, and I still kind of want to see it, but when it first came out, we went 3 weekends in a row to try and see it, and it was
sold out,
and we were like,
well, they didn't play it in like a lot of releases.
I was in college, right? So like it was at 3 theaters around us, and it was always sold out.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, can we get the next showing? That's sold out too.
Yeah,
so I was like, I am not meant to watch this movie.
Yeah,
I want to watch it, but.
I literally, you know. We seen it down at the Esquire.
Nice.
And it was like, you know, she, my sister was just like, you want to go see this? I was like, yeah, well, let's go see it. And we got lucky. And it was like, you know, yeah, we got their smallest theater they had. And
nice.
At one point,
well,
like,
I mean, the Esquire was,
there's a lot of screaming in that movie. Yeah. That Heather girl screams a lot. And at one point my sister like leans over and goes, I am going to climb up in that screen and kick her ass. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I agree with that.
Nice. All right, so we put together some lists. I called them scary movies and then favorite scary movies.
Yeah.
And you know, you had a couple that you were willing to admit to.
The just elements of the movie scare me.
Yeah.
Like I think Friday the 13th scared me because that was like probably the earliest horror movie I remember seeing.
Yeah.
There's one I remember like seeing that I'd only remember images from, so I don't even remember what the name of it was.
Okay.
But like Friday the 13th, I was 6
when
I seen that. And yeah, I was a little freaked out by it as a little kid. But, you know, you get 2-3 years older and it's like,
Let's go
camping.
Yeah. So, so my first one is The Birds. And that's one like I saw real young. Right. Yeah. And like to this day. When there's like a large flock of birds sitting up on a, you know, where it's like, you see like 100 or 200 birds up there. I'm like, I'm going to go this way. But I remember the scene of like with the phone booth and the birds flying into it and like the church and that kind of stuff. Yep. And it's like, it's haunting.
That Tippi Hedren. Yeah, Tippi Hedren. I met her.
So, yeah. but, But like, I still can watch it and enjoy it. But
yeah,
like,
sure.
I mean, but it scarred me. Like, yeah. I'm not afraid of birds. Like, you like
just
in general.
Just gives you the heebie-jeebies.
But like, when I see a lot of them together, or if I see a big flock flying through the sky, I'm I get inside.
I'm more like, oh, don't poop on me.
Well, so, dude, poop on me. That's fine. Just don't kill me. I like my eyeballs where they is. All right. So your next one was Cujo.
Yeah. You know what messes with me in that movie? It's not the dog.
Uh-huh.
It's, what, Danny Pintaro?
Yeah.
Like, when he gets sick and they're trapped in the car, just the way he looks.
Yeah.
Like, just didn't.
Yeah, because he's this sweaty and he's all pale.
Yeah,
it didn't
work with me for a long time, but now it's like, no, you know.
I'm legit afraid of dogs, right? Because I had an issue when I was a kid. I am not afraid of Cujo.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's because I got attacked by a dog and it's like, meh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Cool. My second one is the Amityville Horror.
Right.
And I've talked about this on here before.
Yeah.
Again, a movie I saw, I might've been like 10 or 11 and I'm talking about the one from 1979. But I saw it.
Is there another one?
allegedly with Deadpool. But I saw it. And then later that summer we were on vacation
near
New Jersey.
Okay.
And I saw the house.
Yeah.
Like in person live. And it's like, it just became real in my real.
Because
I mean,
it's a real,
it
is a real incident.
Yeah, but like, so it's like, okay, that's not, man. So.
I think that's what with like Blair Witch, that's what pulled in people was because it was made to seem like a real incident. So yeah, it screwed with people more because of that. Like that was that of all the reality tape type movies.
Oh yeah.
That was probably the best done because nobody had any idea if it was
Blair
real
Witch.
Or not.
Oh, well, I mean, they had that whole viral marketing campaign with the websites.
Did.
I mean, because you got to remember, this is 1998.
I remember Sci-Fi Channel did a documentary before, like that takes place before that movie, and it has to do with the story and that. And it's like, this was probably the best marketing ploy ever done.
I mean, you remember, like, when that website was launched, right? There had only been websites with pictures on it for less than 5 years.
Yeah.
It was one of the first ones that used flash animation and it was that first, you know, augmented reality game. All right. So your next one is Poltergeist, where
there's elements of this movie now, that like, I'm still like, I still go, ooh.
So,
but I'm like,
I keep trying to get the wife Tron to let me let the kid Bado 7 watch Poltergeist.
Still too young, I think.
It's rated PG.
Yeah, I know.
So that's my
whole because it was directed by Toby Hooper / Stephen King.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, until it gets near the end, it doesn't really get bad. The thing I was talking to my girlfriend about the other day, I said the things that bother me in that movie are there when the paranormal team's in the house. And the one guy, like, his face literally, like, falls off into the sink. And I said, something about that always bothered me.
Sure.
I said, and then the end when mom falls into the pool and the skeletons start popping up. And I'm like, you know, when I was a kid, that was like, wow.
I'm not going near a pool.
It's
again,
like, but now it's like, meh.
Yeah. Like, you know, I always refer back to Poltergeist because it's the one where the house is like, get out.
Yep.
And they're all like, hey, let's camp out. And it's like, no, leave.
Yeah.
Leave now.
They're here.
Yeah. All right. And then I had a couple more that you didn't have. So Pumpkinhead, the 1988,
really?
Directed by Stan Winston. So at the time, where I grew up was a little more rural than it is now.
Yeah.
We had watched it at a friend's house. I was
did
in
you
my
have to
teens.
Walk home?
Not only did I have to walk home, I'd walk home through the woods past a barn.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, Like, I was short and chubby, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't hit my growth spurt and I hadn't learned how to run. I ran, you know, for a long, long time competitively.
Right.
I've never run that fast.
Okay.
You know, like running through the woods, like jumping over like a creek and stuff. But like, I just remember it because Lance Hendrickson creeped me out so much in that movie. And
really?
He was the good guy. Like then the pumpkin head creature was just the shape of the pumpkin and the arms and those hands. Like it was the hands and it was like, ugh. So yeah, that one got me.
You want to get creeped out by Lance Hendrickson? Watch Near Dark.
Yeah. Children of the Corn is another one.
Yeah.
Again, because we lived close to a cornfield.
It didn't bother me. I mean, the only thing in that movie that I remember that stood out to me as a kid was the diner scene at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the one where it was like, woo, you know, you're like, wow.
And but Linda Hamilton, great.
Yeah.
You know, great in the movie.
Yep.
So, and then my last one is
Malachi.
But no, so with Children of the Corn, right?
Yeah,
the creepy kids. It's the creepy kids with the little Vulcan haircuts.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
With the scythe and just goodness.
I'll send that to you tonight. You can post that in the show notes. I actually met what's his name, Malachi.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? The redhead.
Oh God,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember their names.
Courtney Gaines is the actor's name. I'll send a picture. You can post it in the show notes. I met them a few years ago, and they were both awesome. Nicest guys in the world.
Yeah.
Mostly, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I've been to a lot of horror conventions, and, you know, for, like you said, Lance Hendrickson creeps you out and that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Peter Horton, not Lance Hendrickson. Lance Hendrickson was Pumpkinhead. Oh, yeah. No, he creeped
me. No, Peter Horton was in Children of Corn.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah,
yeah, you're okay.
I forgot what I said there. Yeah, Courtney Gaines played Malachi.
Malachi.
And then John Franklin played Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac.
And Isaac was creepy.
They were really, like, cool guys and that, so... Yeah, that's the thing with a lot of the horror, like, guys is they're nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, and then funny, John Franklin played Cousin It in both Addams Family movies.
He also played young Vincent on Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. He was young Ron Perlman.
Mm-hmm. All right, then my last one is It.
Yeah.
And it was the made-for-TV miniseries,
yep.
John Ritter, you know, Pennywise the Clown. John Ritter was in that, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pennywise the Clown, reaching up through that sewer grate. Yeah. I mean, I told you before, like, I read the book.
Yeah.
And let's see. I haven't read a lot of Stephen King because that's not my bag when it comes to reading, right?
Right.
It was the only book on my bookshelf that was turned spine in.
Because of the eyes?
Because of the art. Because the it was like that embossed, you know, clown.
Yeah.
Like Pennywise, like, you know, it was the bumpy printing. And then the eyes literally followed you.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, no.
What's wrong, Brian?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, geez. But no, and it was just the whole idea of, like,
wasn't
the kids.
Wasn't that Frankenfurter that played him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you look at it now with, like, all the clowns and stuff happening.
Yeah.
Right now, and it's like, oh, like, you guys.
Well,
and
the best part is you're not even near 911 calls, and they just refer to it as It.
Yeah. Yeah,
it chased me. It chased me. It's outside my house.
Yep.
And it's like, they're not all it.
No, that's it is one thing, and it's not a clown. It's just manifested as a clown.
I'm very curious to see what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
The theatrical.
Yep.
Version of that.
I hope they do what
they were talking about, where they do two movies and one's the kids and then them as adults.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's the way they've talked about doing it. I'm thinking that would be a cool idea.
That would be.
Film them back to back, like Back to the Future 2 and 3, and just release them in the same year, one in the beginning and one in the near the end of the year.
Do one at the beginning of the summer and one at the end of the summer.
Yeah, that would be
pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now favorite scary movies, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I like
scary movies.
Yeah.
I'm not like a horror guy, but I do like scary movies. You know, and we can get into it after we talk about our movies, but like, what got me out of like horror was torture porn.
Yeah.
And so, all right. So your favorite scaries are, you know, pretty epic.
The place.
You know, but they're all epic, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have Poltergeist on that list,
right?
Because,
yeah,
you know, your favorite movies should scare you.
Right. Yeah.
So,
sure.
But yeah. And then, I was surprised by Alien.
I think it's a really good horror movie.
And you justified it greatly. You know, I mean,
it's sci-fi
horror,
but I mean, it's,
you know,
it's more horror because there's more terror in that movie than anything, because you don't see that creature totally until the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see him, he's pretty much tearing people apart.
It's like Jaws, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like, you look at like Event Horizon, right?
Yeah.
That I consider that horror.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's in the same genre as Alien and the
Not
Thing.
As well done as Alien.
Yeah. But I mean, it's in the same, like, there's all that fine line with those genres where you got sci-fi horror and sci-fi
thriller
actions. Yeah. And so it's like Event Horizon, John Carpenter's The Thing, you know, Alien, those type of movies fall into that category for me, where it's sci-fi horror.
The Andromeda Strain.
The Andromeda Strain.
Now, what about like Omega Man or...
Omega Man is, yeah. I would say that's in the sci-fi horror.
And then what they call it with Will Smith. I'm having a brain fart.
Oh, God. I am too. The last...
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend was the story, but like... Right. There was the Vincent Price version that was the Last Man, and there was the Heston version, the Omega Man, and then the Will Smith version that actually used I Am Legend.
So
that I would not consider horror.
No.
But I would consider Heston's because it was more those guys were in the shadows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my all time favorite like thriller, horror, scary movie is Rear Window. I mean and it's like it's in my top 10 of just all time movies.
Sure.
I love that movie. You know, the way it's shot, the way it's acted. Right. You have Cary Grant and Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart.
You talked about it last year.
But I'll talk about it every Halloween until the end of time. But I tell you what, one that like I think I don't know if it surprised you or not, but Saw, the first Saw.
And you know, I hadn't seen that in like at all until probably 2 years ago.
Okay.
I think it was just one where I was like, it was so overblown, that whole series, that I was like, eh.
So,
and then it showed up on Netflix. Yeah. I'm like, I'll watch it now. And just the first one's done well.
The first one is great. It's Hitchcockian. You don't see any of the
lot
actual
twists
gore.
And turns in that movie.
The twists and turns. Cary Elwes is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, like for me, like the first Saw, like I watched every year.
Sure.
I even like Saw 2.
See, I haven't gone beyond Saw.
Saw 3 is where like it got into
the torture porn. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like even Saw 2 like skirted that line, but it still like was very much in the vein of the first one. But yeah, and then we were talking about The Thing. Which
is John Carpenter's
thing.
Yeah.
John Carpenter's thing. That's really
dirty. Really was like
so now that's one I haven't watched all the way through.
Okay.
And it's not because I think it's too scary. It's because I start watching these movies at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I fall asleep and it's like, and then I kind of forget where I was.
That's kind of one you don't want the kid to come in on.
Yeah. So, but
that movie is, has a good amount of terror in it, and it has some terrible, like, you know, mutation scenes in it, which, you know, for me being, you know, into that type of stuff, I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I get it. And, like, I recognize
and
where
not
it
knowing
it,
who's what at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is,
who's the thing and who's the human?
I mean, it's the whole, like, Blade Runner, you know, along those lines.
Right.
You know, but yeah. And then, you know, you have a couple classics here with Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, they're classics for a reason. And we're talking about the original John Carpenter.
Of both.
Yeah. And I forgot they remade.
Yeah.
But like with Johnny Depp, man. Freaking Johnny Depp in the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Heather Langenkamp and Johnny Depp. Yeah.
But the wife, she's terrified of Freddy Krueger.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You want to mess with her? Get the fedora and the stripy sweater and the knife.
Or just invite Robert Englund over?
I think that would probably, do it. But what about Halloween? Like, because to me,
so,
Halloween franchise.
I'm not scared by these movies.
No,
for me, it's more the story and the way it's set up.
I kind of found the original Halloween boring. Like, because I don't know. It's just the guy in the Shatner mask. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I actually liked some of the sequels just a little better.
Yeah.
Like, even though I know they're not as good as that first one. And, like, to be honest, the Rob Zombie one. When you see Michael Myers as the kid part, like, I love
that. Well, it's like I tell people, you know, if you want to enjoy Halloween, you can watch it by itself. I said, if you want to enhance it, watch Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And then switch
up until the point that when he escapes from the insane asylum.
Yeah, and they
and
start
turn
remaking.
It off
because
it's like... That's where I was disappointed with Rob Zombie's Halloween was, you know, I thought it was a well-done story up until the point that he escapes and then it just turns into a blood fest.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, at that point, I'm just kind of like, I was done with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I seen that in the theater and I was the only one in the theater and I'm just like sitting there going, come on. You know, it's like, there's just certain parts where it's like, let's just throw blood around the room and see if we can get a reaction.
See, I kind of felt like that was the first one too, like the original.
The original doesn't have much blood in it.
No, and I guess it's more of like, let's throw it just like the, I don't know, maybe it's like a pacing thing. Maybe I need to rewatch it. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I just like the rest of the ones on your list, you know, I mean, obviously I haven't seen all of the thing,
right?
But like Poltergeist, yeah, I get.
Yeah.
Alien, yeah, I get.
Halloween,
and I'm actually a weird person who likes Alien better than Aliens. Universal,
monster movies.
Maybe that's what it is,
because it's like the Universal monster movies built up,
yeah,
and then you know you've seen the monster or you've seen like the repercussions of the monster.
Yeah,
it's like my favorite Universal movie is The Wolfman.
Okay,
and you don't see the Wolfman until like halfway through the movie, and it's like, yeah, then things have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis is great in that movie. Mm-hmm. Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, it's a well done movie.
Cool.
And especially for it being like, I think it was a second movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you did a really good job of putting that together.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then I had a couple more than you did. But so I have actually two Danny Boyle films on mine.
Yeah.
I have 28 Days Later, which... You know, it's not a zombie movie. It's that whole thing, but
it's a terror movie. I mean, you know,
the Cillian Murphy in this is just awesome. I love it. I love his portrayal. Sure. I love when Christopher Eccleston shows up with the military and that, and then what you see of the rage virus
in
that one. Right. Because I think 28 weeks later, we saw too much of the sausage getting made.
Right.
You know. But then the other Danny Boyle one was Shallow Grave with Ewan McGregor and Christopher Eccleston.
And I've never seen that. So.
And it's three roommates. It's a thriller type thing. It's like, you know, kind of a who's going to kill who. And,
right.
It's a really good, I mean, it's what's that one? 94.
Right.
So, I mean, it's early Ewan McGregor. I mean, it's right before Trainspotting.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously it's really early Christopher Eccleston too.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But no, I've always had a fondness for that movie. They take and they bury the three of them. There's three roommates in a flat.
Right.
They bury a dead body.
Right.
And you know, it's kind of.
I kind of know the story. I just have never watched it.
Totally worth watching. You know, and again, I just like Danny Boyle. Like Sunshine was a nice little space horror type thing.
Peter Facinelli. I really think that like Sunshine was done really well. 28 Days was done really well. I mean, 28 Weeks Later. Is not bad. He didn't direct that one. He just produced it. Yeah. But I didn't think it was that bad of a movie.
The biggest part of that, though, that I had a problem with was Robert Carlyle's character.
Yeah.
Because like none of the rage victims ever had like a semblance of sentience.
Right.
You know? And he's able to track his kids over 200 miles.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous.
I think the best part of 28 Weeks Later is the end where it's like 28 months later or something, and it just shows Paris and like shows rage people running around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this really got bad. It's like, it really got bad.
It got a little out of control. But yeah.
Did anybody think to close that tunnel down?
Apparently not.
No.
So, all right. And then my last one is The Exorcist.
Okay.
And I love it. And it's one like it could be on my scary movies.
The, version with the spider walk.
Yes. I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Right.
I grew up with Irish Catholics.
Yeah.
And, you know, just there were priests in our life.
Sure.
You know, so the whole idea of an exorcism, you know, I mean, like we heard about, like, you know, I was raised Irish Catholic, not Roman Catholic.
Right.
Which, you know, there is
a little bit of
there's distinction. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I just loved the movie. Like, I was scared by it.
Sure.
I mean, you know, the little girl,
Reagan.
Yeah. You know, the makeup on her,
right, yeah.
The, you know, just kind of the way she was, the priest trying to, you know, not give in to temptation of the devil and try and save her. You know, that resonated with me. It also terrified me.
Yeah.
And this is another one watching at a friend's house. Never ran quite so fast on my way home. And like this one wasn't quite as far away as only like 4 houses down.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think back then that's about,
I
was like,
I
was like 6 acres from home.
Your issues with like that type of stuff, because a lot of the horror movies I seen, it was either at my cousin's who, you know, we still were near the city.
Right.
But my mom and dad had family friends who lived out in the country. So we would watch horror movies when I would spend the night there or spend the weekend there. And it's like, yeah, you don't really want to go outside after that. But we would do it because, you know, we like to scare the shit out of each other. So that's the charm to me of horror movies. It's like, you know, you're scaring yourself.
Like, I've never had a problem with graveyards. Yeah. When I ran, I used to get up and I'd run in the graveyard in the morning before the sun even came up. You know, because it was just a nice place to run. It was peaceful. Sure, I didn't have to worry about getting run over by another car.
Everybody's taking a nap, you know? Yeah.
So,
well, that was, I can remember like one time during my wild days, I guess you would say, was at a party at a friend's house, and right down the street was a graveyard. And I'm like, come on, let's just go down there and we'll just walk around. I'm like, you know, it's like, it's not that scary. I said, it's a small graveyard. It was like right next
to... Did you ever play
to...
Ghosts in the Graveyard in a graveyard?
No.
See, now that's taking it to another. That's completely meta. All
right. But yeah, it was right near a church. It was an old-looking graveyard.
Nice.
And they wouldn't come in.
Yeah.
Like, I literally walked through, and I walked around, and I'm like, yeah.
Now,
I'm like, I hope I don't trip.
If you look at our picks, there's a very definite theme, right?
Yeah.
The newest movie on here is from 2004, and that's Saw.
Yeah.
All right. Because around 2006 when Hostel came out.
Yeah.
Like I think Hostel was 2006, 2005, something like that.
Yeah.
Hostel was the first in, like, you know, and Eli Roth has a beautiful eye.
I was going,
like,
to say, you want to jump back actually to Cabin Fever, because that was probably the first like one that started that.
But I guess, Hostel is the one that made it popular, because it made a lot of money, because Eli Roth is a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
He shoots things well.
Visually, he can do a good movie.
And the story to Hostel is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a legit fear if you travel to Europe as a
Eli Roth did a really good job of doing a Steven Spielberg type thing of, you know, the Jaws not wanting to go in the water. It's I think for a while there, Europe probably seen a decline in their college student travel.
Or if they were staying in like real hotels.
Exactly.
Like, but
all the hotels in Europe were like, why are people staying here?
But it was that first in the line of like popular torture porn.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you know, it was the Asian girl who like her eye was like pulled out, like just for the sake of doing it. And, you know, Saul turned into that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that I'm having a brain fart all of a sudden. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember many of them. I seen Hostel.
Yeah.
And I think that's all I seen. I didn't even see Hostel 2.
I actually like Hostel 2 a little better, because the girl who gets like kidnapped, she's actually very, very wealthy.
Yeah.
And she buys her way out of it.
Okay.
And into killing the guy, you know, who was wanting to kill her. And Jay Hernandez, again, he was in the first Hostel.
Yeah.
And that's where I really like started liking him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just it kind of turned the thing into, you know, you had the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
You had the remake of Friday the 13th. You had the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. Or there's elements of torture porn in all those.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
You know, that whole series.
It seemed like they took the originals and just bastardized them into like a somewhat torture pornish.
Jeepers Creepers, House of Wax,
Jeepers Creepers was anything near torture porn. Because I'd seen that and I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I had never had any interest in seeing it. And I actually watched it and watched the sequel, because I was like, the first one was so good. I was like, I want to see the sequel and see what it is. And it's just it's a monster movie.
Okay.
It's nothing near torture porn.
But you look like a movie that came out around that time, like Joyride, right?
Yeah.
Like, it starts out as this great, like, thriller, you know, kind of what's going to happen. And it devolves to torture porn.
But Joyride, to me, was a Hitcher ripoff.
Well,
like, have you ever seen the original Hitcher?
And the Hitcher's,
like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Rick
it's
Howard's
a
awesome.
Big ripoff of that to me.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Collector. Movies like that,
see,
right?
I've never seen that.
Where it's like, you know, he has like people coming into this house because he wants to kill, like, you know, he's trying to get the revenge type of a thing. You know, Human Centipede.
Yeah.
Like, did you watch that?
I did not.
Okay.
I had no interest in that.
I watched the first one.
Yeah.
And I've regretted it ever since.
Well, sure.
Now, had I not watched the first one, the human sent iPad episode of South Park would not have been as funny.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, again, it's well documented my issues with like human feces in general, right?
Yeah.
I fast forward through several parts of that movie. Yeah. And just even thinking about it right now, I'm kind of gagging up.
Yeah, it was one where, you know, Horror Hound magazine like did conventions mm-hmm. around the time that was coming out, and it's like you just hear the description, it's like, nah, I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, they like a lot of the good horror movies now are independent horror movies.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you, The Babadook is really good.
Yeah, you were talking about that. The Innkeepers with Ty West.
Yeah.
That's a great horror movie.
I enjoyed, oh God, what is it? No, I forgot. It totally left my mind.
Uh-oh.
The one where the third one just came out. First one has Ethan Hawke.
Conjuring.
No.
Oh. Ethan. Oh, the Purge.
Yeah, The Purge. Yeah. I thought The Purge was a really good... Like, I've only seen the first one.
The second one's really good because it's Frank Grillo, and, like, he's just great.
Yeah. I thought it was a really well-done horror movie.
The first Purge, considering it takes place in one house, right?
Yeah.
It is like, it's, you know, we've talked about, we like those self-contained, like, Iron Man, Ant-Man, Luke Cage, you know, taking place in kind of one area.
Right.
The Purge does that great.
Oh, yeah.
The Purge 2 Anarchy or whatever it's called.
Right.
Like you see the Purge. Like
yeah,
you
that's see more before. Out in the
you
Purge.
See people planning for it. You hear the right. You know, and poor little Matt Saracen.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah, from Friday. Okay. What's it? Zach
I don't know.
Whatever.
Don't
know. Matt Saracen's from Friday.
Right. Friday Night Lights, yeah.
But you know, but
yeah,
there's
have
that.
It. I just have not.
And then
watched it.
Election Year, which I have not seen yet.
Yeah.
But I look forward to seeing it at some point.
Yeah, it's like I was telling you, The Conjuring is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the same vein as the Amityville type stuff and that.
Now, The Conjuring was one I wanted to see
because
it came out. It was a July movie because it tested so well. They're like, well, let's do it in the summer. And it made a buttload of money.
Oh, yeah.
It was one where I
think I bought it as a Black Friday thing. And I was just like, yeah, $5. It's like, you know.
Yeah, because I wanted to see it in the theater because I did like the previews and stuff like that. And I like Patrick Wilson and, you know.
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... you know, but I never did get to see it.
She's in a good horror movie. Have you ever seen The Orphan?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
So, okay, I don't want to spoil anything about this movie, right? The Orphan is a must-watch
movie.
The Orphan is a great
twist.
I completely forgot about
it
until you just
don't
even know. That's too much.
That's enough.
You're giving
right
away
there.
Way too much. The Orphan is great.
It's been out long enough if you don't know. Come on.
If you don't know, go watch The Orphan tonight.
Yeah,
like, go buy it. It's worth owning.
It's a really good movie.
So, because you can watch it over.
Like I was telling you, Insidious is a really good movie.
Like, okay, I have one for you. The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin and Elijah
Wood.
Right? That's a good, like, thriller, like, kind of, you know, again, a whodunit. A crazy, creepy kid. Like, to me, that's Macaulay
creepy
Culkin's
kids,
best
man.
Role.
Creepy
yeah.
kids.
So kids ruin everything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But, yeah, no.
And who has a kid?
And she's creepy.
What I learned from horror movies was to not have children.
And you've seen her. Sometimes she's really creepy and you just want to run away from her. But
I won't run away.
I know, I'm teasing. It's such a great genre, you know, and it really is. For all the good, like for all the bad ones, right?
Yeah.
There are just great ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you can't say that about everything.
Right. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, and like I was saying, more of the independent feel movies that they're doing now.
Yeah.
There's one, what was it? I watched recently with Kate Beckinsale called Stonehurst Asylum. It's on Netflix, or it was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is. It's a good psychological horror movie, and I really enjoy. I thought that was a really well done, and it's not too gory, or you know, there's not much gore in it at all.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know, a really well done story.
Yeah,
and that's what I look for, is like, you know, if the elements of gore make the story enhanced, then it's good. It's like The Walking Dead. I mean, The Walking Dead has a lot of
this is a great segue
in it.
Right?
Yeah,
I want to close out talking about zombies.
Sure.
Because zombie movies are a staple.
Yeah.
Now, not all zombie movies are created equally.
No.
You have, you know, again, like you have the 28 Days Later, right?
Yeah.
Are they zombies? Are they not? You know.
No, they're but, infected.
Right.
Zombies
have to have a bit of a supernatural appeal to it because
some of them,
like gravity and, you know, just kind of human anatomy comes into play at a point where they're just not going to be able to do, like, World War Z, the book handled that perfectly, right?
Yeah.
But then you look at the ones like Warm Bodies with Nicholas Holt and...
Oh, that's horror comedy.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, like, Shaun of the Dead is horror comedy. Or
Shaun of the Dead.
But anyway, no, it like, in that in the vein of those two movies that were... Hold on, what was her name? Oh, Teresa Palmer.
Yeah.
Like, Warm Bodies, like, flipped that whole thing. Like, it's a zombie romantic comedy, right? But then it gets ridiculous because when the zombies find true love, they become human again.
Right, yeah.
Whereas, like, the comedy behind Shaun of the Dead was, how would two people who spend their lives playing video games, smoking pot, eating king cones, react to the zombie apocalypse?
Yeah,
they would be the badasses of the entire thing. But no, The Walking Dead, and it comes back next week, this week.
Yeah.
You know, we have a love-hate relationship with the show.
More than me.
Yeah. But, like, the zombie parts of the show.
Yeah.
It's some of the best makeup. And
it's KMB, so.
But it goes beyond just the simple prosthetic.
Well, yeah.
It's the zombie school. Like, the way they teach the actors.
The zombies, yeah.
Because you see, like, I mean, even Night of the Living Dead, right?
Yeah.
Like, some of the zombies, you could see they're mailing it in. The guy's, like, looking at his watch. And, like,
I mean, it was one of those things where it's, like, you know, you kind of were, like, Romero shooting a movie out in the middle of the countryside. And people are just, like, what are we doing?
What's a zombie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, like, you know, there were zombie movies before that. But Romero, like, pushed it out there into the limelight. And I mean, if you compare that to, like, Day of the Dead, and it's like there's a lot more performing as a zombie in that movie. Whereas, you know, I'm sure direction in that original Night of the Living Dead was just walk across the field dragging your leg.
Yeah.
What am I doing? Drag your leg. Yeah.
But so, like, you know, but I mean, I think.
And there were some of those guys in that movie where it was like, wow, you just blew it over the top.
Yeah, but I think zombie movies work best when there's a bit of comedy, right? Like Zombieland.
Yeah.
Zombieland is a fun-ass movie, and it's a good zombie movie.
Yeah, and I mean...
And then you have, like, The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
It's ridiculous, but, like, Ty Sheridan's in it, Cyclops from X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
He's great, you know?
I think I watched one called Detention of the Dead.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I mean, there's just...
You know, there's so much of that stuff that it's like, you know, the zombie horror is its own category, just like sci-fi horror is its own category. And it's just one of those things where, there's a lot of crossover between all of those.
I mean, on TV right now, we have what? We have Walking Dead, iZombie. What was the one on sci-fi?
Z Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's another one somewhere. But
another zombie?
Maybe.
One? Maybe.
But I mean, we're in the golden age of zombie storytelling right now, and I think it's kind of hit its peak, and it's starting to kind of go back to vampires, and werewolves maybe.
Yeah,
I'd like to see it go back to like werewolves, like
I'd
legit
like to
werewolves.
See some more werewolves, so,
but
you
know, it's just
there's one I totally forgot about.
What
that
American Werewolf?
Silver Bullet.
We had talked about that.
Yeah, Silver Bullet's probably one of my favorite.
Corey
Haim
and Gary Busey, man.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
So.
And
no.
a preacher as as a werewolf.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
If I spoiled that for anybody.
All right. So, you know, zombies, they're here. They're, you know, they are.
Zombies are here. They're outside the doors right now.
There's lots of good zombie movies. There's lots of bad zombie movies. There's lots of good zombie TV shows.
You wouldn't survive the zombie apocalypse, would you?
I don't know.
I don't think you would. You have a kid. You're screwed.
No, she's bait, man.
She's bait. She's thinking the same thing about you.
and I have a wife who I have a theory that if she were being chased by a bear,
because
she hates to run, she would just give up and let the bear eat her. So like right there, you know.
I see your kid doing the Total Michonne thing where she just takes your jaw off and her mom's jaw off and just brings you on chain.
Gee, thanks. But
I'll be expecting the knock on the door. Just chain him up in the back.
But no, I think I'd do okay. I mean, I was a Boy Scout and, you know, all that fun
How
stuff.
How would you do in the vampire apocalypse?
See, I would want...
Shiny or not?
Oh, God. Shiny, like, kill me. Just kill me now. I hate glitter. I hate sparkly things. You know, just literally kill me now. Like an Anne Rice vampire thing where I could be kind of like Euro trashy.
Yeah.
Like even, what is it? Queen of the Damned with Stuart Townsend.
Yeah.
Like I'm all right being that kind
Have
of
you
vampire.
Seen, What We Do in Shadows?
Yes. From the guys from Flight of the Conchords. It is great.
That was like one of the best.
And they're going to make a TV series based off of that.
With the werewolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's great. It's like the werewolves were hilarious in that movie.
I don't know. So, I mean, just as a genre, there's a lot of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And like, it's not all scary. It's, right. You know, and like, a lot of it's really good storytelling. But the thing to take away most from it is it play, like, the way they play on our inner fears, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then the way they show us what that fear would, like, manifest. And
some of the scariest things that I've ever had were, like, I bought these books, like, back... probably in the early 2000s called Haunted America and Haunted Heartland and that. Okay. And it was real stories of ghostly encounter type stuff. And there's some stories in there where it's like, holy crap. It's like, yeah. So that stuff's more like I would like to do that. I would like to be,
be a ghost hunter.
Well, yeah, I think it would be kind of interesting. Yeah.
So again, think of you all know we live in Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like 100 places around here that are haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Ghosts.
I've been in a few of them.
There's
yeah.
one that's a mile away.
Yeah.
I've
always said my mom and dad's house was haunted.
I went to Miami University. There's a ghost like on the motorcycle out there. I've never seen it, but people say that.
Yeah, the ghost on the motorcycle story was in one of those books.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that sounds like the Headless Horseman.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's just it seems like there's a never ending wealth of just horror that comes out.
People like to be scared.
Unfortunately, most of it comes out at the end of August.
Yeah.
You know, I really wish they would get better at putting this stuff out during Halloween. Like,
I think because there's so much on TV and people own a lot of these movies that putting it out at that time of the year kind of would. Like shoot yourself in the foot type thing because of the fact that people are watching it at home. They're having parties and, you know, they're having their viewing parties.
Like the Rocky Horror.
And that's why it comes out
like
in August, because by October it's out for you to buy.
Yeah.
So,
okay. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I didn't think.
And I think that's really what it is, because it's more fun to watch horror movies with other people.
Oh, watching a horror movie by yourself is when it's scary.
Yeah.
Right? Because your imagination and the shadows and that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. But, I definitely think that a lot of people, like, you know, and just because, like Freddy.
Yeah.
You know, Freddy that was on here and that. It's just the gathering of friends and the watching of the stuff and talking about it afterwards and, you know, just is a fun idea.
Yeah, and it's fun to experience
you
with someone at the same time.
Like, you know, I've been in a fan of all kinds of genres, and that and the horror genre, like going to horror conventions, is more fun than any other conventions I've ever been to, because it's more of a social group.
Yeah.
Than like, you
and
know,
I think
comic book fans are very divisive.
Yeah.
Whereas horror fans, they just love horror.
And to do those kind of movies as a professional, as a director, as an actor, as a writer, you have to have a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have a sense of humor about it.
Oh, yeah.
And about yourself. And they're like, I mean, the stories you tell about the people you meet at Horror Hound.
Yeah.
You know, it like I will go with you at some point to a Horror Hound, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, it's just fun to walk around. And
right.
I mean, cosplaying at a comic convention's fun because you get to see superheroes.
Right.
Cosplaying at a comic or at a horror convention. It's like, damn,
you
how
get to
did
see
you
artists.
Do that? It's like,
I
yeah,
mean, those
you
are the,
literally are seeing artistry, like, you know, because there's people that come as Pinhead and it's like, what? You had to sit there and watch that movie to figure out like the layout of everything. And it's like, you know, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot of the professionals you meet, the artists, the directors, you know, the makeup artists and the directors and the actors and that. Just have a very good sense of humor about it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
you know, they're fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the things I do have to say. Like, you know, comic book conventions, there's a lot of divisiveness because, you know, DC, Marvel, all that type of stuff, history and that. But yeah, I think like it's more of a very well ingrained social community when it comes to horror fans and that. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah, some hate The Walking Dead and I can't blame them, but
you know, like, I mean, we did most of last spring The Walking Dead and we're,
We'll talk about it. We have to figure out
how much we're going to talk about it.
We're not going to turn into a Walking Dead podcast, but you know.
But
we'll talk about the first episode and probably the mid season.
I mean, I love to hate it, but like I want to love it. That's the thing, and so yeah.
Well,
you're
tainted too because you're a fan of the comic book.
But I became a fan of the comic after the first episode came out the first episode came out and it's like, all right, I need to read it.
Yeah.
So
whereas I have been reading the book since the beginning and it's you know, that's why I guess that's why I'm a little bit more forgiving of the series because I did read it all and I understand where they're coming from with changing things.
But I mean, I had the volume one of the first 48, the big compendium or the big omnibus one. For months before or maybe even almost a year before it came out, because when our borders closed, I got it for $6.
Sure.
Which is the best find I've ever
probably,
had.
Yeah.
So I'll never get a deal that
day. Yeah. I think, like, you know, with that type of thing, it's just that is a divisive thing because it is a comic book and it is a TV series. You know, adapting that type of thing is kind of harder than just doing a horror comic or a zombie show. I mean
my biggest problem is when it starts to fall off the rails story wise
they just adapt the comic book,
but they don't even adapt it. They literally stale scene for scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you're gonna do that, fine.
Yeah. The only thing they adapt it because of the actors and you know, the storylines that are there.
But like the anyway, we talked about it
all right.
Well, it's a good episode. I think it's a good stopping point.
Let us know what your favorite scary movie is.
Hello, Sydney. What's your favorite scary movie?
Brian?
They can find us online at theinfamouspodcast.com or just infamouspodcast.com. They both get you there.
Yeah.
We're online at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. And if you want to share with us what your favorite scary movie is, or you know, any suggestions, thoughts, feedback, would you like to see Johnny in a tutu? Email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com. I should have taken a picture of your face just there.
Yeah. So. I won't talk about those days.
All right, Johnny, where can they find you online?
I'm at Instagram and Twitter, Johnny Podorf, and I'm on Facebook. So you can find me in those three places.
Yep, you can find me on most places.
Or you can find me at work.
Yeah, no kidding. You can find me most places at Brian Tudor. Links to everything on the website. We'll link to the trailers we talked about earlier in the show notes, and we'll do links to all these movies so you can check them out.
Yep.
Any final words?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, have a nice day, night, evening, weekend, morning, whenever you're listening to this. I'll see you in your nightmares. Later.